Hello guys, this podcast episode is going to be focused on year 10, giving you guys some help on your year 10 mock debrief and dirt activities. We're going to focus on two questions, one from the urban topic in the mock, question 1.9, and the other question is going to be 5.3 from the fieldwork section.
Yay!
Okay, so let's start with question 1.5 from the urban topic. It's a nice 9-mark question that's also marked for 3 spag marks. The question is, to what extent has urban change created environmental challenges in a UK city you have studied? Now, the first thing you have to do is you have to cube this question. You have to circle the command word, to what extent. You have to underline keywords such as urban change, environment, challenges, and you have to box anything you must refer to, which is a UK city you have studied, and then try and word it in your own words, reword it in your own words. So let's take each one of those components. Circle the command word, to what extent. To what extent is effectively a discussive question, so it's asking you to show a balance of opinions. You have to say in your answer that some urban change has caused environmental challenges, and you'll have to also say that some urban change has created environmental opportunities as well. So you need a balance of both before ultimately coming to a conclusion, a stated conclusion at the end. That's key. If you can get that balance and you can give a valid conclusion based on your arguments, you're going to be able to access level 3 and 7, 8 and 9 marks out of 9. The second part is underlining keywords. And these are the words that if they change, totally change what the question's about. So this is about urban change. It's about what change is taking place in an urban environment. It's also about environmental challenges. It's not about social challenges. It's not about economic challenges. If those words change, if environment changes to social, it totally changes the question. So these are the really key words that help us to understand what the question's about. I'll come back to those in a second. Box anything you must refer to. So whenever it says use figure or use a case study or with reference to a case study, you box that. And then I always write next to that box, what case study? So in this case, UK city you've studied, London. I must refer to London throughout my answer in order to get the very highest marks. And then how would I explain this in my own words? I think for me it would be, what's changed in London and how has that created environmental problems and environmental positives? Okay, so it's just a simplified way, a simplification of what the question is, helps me to try and understand what the question's asking me to do. Got to be quite careful though that you don't actually change the question and answer the wrong question. Coming back then to underlining those keywords, the next part of this podcast episode is going to look at those two keywords, urban change and environmental challenges. So let's get cracking. Okay, so in this next bit, there's going to be a little bit of an activity for you to do, and then you can come back to the podcast. So my activity for you is, and you can do this individually, you could do this with people either side of you, I want you to list out the changes that have happened in London. In the last kind of 20 to 30 years, or maybe even longer if you wish, what has changed about London? Think about everything. Think about society. Think about the environment, and that can be the natural environment and the built environment as well. Think about the economy, think about politics. What has changed in London? Just create a list. And then next to that list, against each of those points, I want you to try and link to environmental challenges, like environmental issues that have resulted from that, and also environmental positives, environmental improvements that have happened because of that. Okay, so I'm just going to give you one example, one nice simple example, and many of you talked about this. One urban change that's taken place in London is the redevelopment of brownfield sites, such as the Stratford area that was converted into the Olympic Park. That created environmental challenges because it used a lot of concrete, and concrete requires a lot of energy and has a large carbon footprint, so had a global environmental impact in terms of CO2 emissions. But it also brought environmental positives. So they planted 4,500 trees and something like 70,000 plants to create a brand new green park space in London. And that is obviously a positive. So see how many changes you can come up with, and then see how many challenges and opportunities for the environment you can link those to. Off you go. So how did you do? It can be really difficult and quite frustrating, but you've got to remember that ultimately you're only going to need one or maybe two urban changes in order to flesh out an answer that could potentially get you 9 out of 9. When I brainstormed it, the ones I came up with were, as I just mentioned, redevelopment and regeneration of different areas. You could talk about Stratford, or you could talk about the Brentford area. You could talk about the area around Tower Bridge, the Shard, for instance. I thought another key change is the change in population, not just a growing population, but also probably more importantly from my point of view, the immigration of people, particularly from other countries, and the diversity that brings in London, but also the pressures it puts on, you know, the city and the environmental consequences of that. I think one of the key areas that I would probably talk about would be transport improvements. And we've got some really, really good examples. Crossrail is the one that comes to mind, but you could also talk about the Heathrow Third Runway. You could also talk about the Thames Gateway, so the port. You could talk about the development of some of the roads. I think you may be struggling a little bit more there. But transport improvements would be a key one. You could talk about leisure and entertainment, so the building of some of the new attractions like the London Eye. You could talk about the O2. Definitely you could talk about the Olympics, we already mentioned that. You could talk about the process of deindustrialization. So you could say how London has deindustrialized and that has caused environmental challenges regarding sort of brownfield sites, but also opportunities for wildlife to inhabit those areas. You could talk about that. You could talk about the advent of urban greening and the move towards sort of more environmentally minded sort of urban development. You could talk about the proposed green bridge that was ultimately abandoned at a cost of nearly 50 million or just over 50 million pounds, which is crazy. The talk of making London into the first national park city in the world. You could talk about stuff like that. You could also talk about how the city has sprawled, although not in a traditional way. It's sprawled by allowing commuter settlements such as Reading and even kind of Guildford and Farnham, to be honest, to themselves sprawl outwards. And that has had an obvious impact. So there's a whole list of changes. I think when it comes to talking then about the environmental opportunities and challenges, I think you need to think at different scales. So you need to talk about local environmental impacts, things that happen just within a particular area, as well as regional, so the whole sort of London area and the southeast, as well as sort of national or international. You could potentially break it down like that. Okay, so now we've kind of planned out our answer. We've got some ideas about how London has changed. We pick basically one or two of those that we feel most comfortable with, and we're going to start our answer. So your answer needs to have three paragraphs and a conclusion. Your conclusion needs to answer that to what extent part of the question. So for me, I think I would probably have to say that on balance, I don't know, I think my focus is going to be on the Olympics and on transport. And I think in the balance of my paragraphs, I'm probably going to talk actually more positively than negatively about environmental impact. But we'll see. Ultimately, you can always make a decision on the conclusion right at the end once you've written out your paragraphs. The key thing being that your conclusion is supported by a greater weight of discussion towards that conclusion. You know, if you're going to be, yeah, it's all about positive environmental change, you have to have written a lot more about that than the environmental challenges. So the key to our paragraphs, as I've told you countless times, is that PEA structure. And the problem that I was seeing in the answers, many of the answers you were giving, was just a little bit of vagueness, just talking quite generally. There was a lack of detailed knowledge of the London case study that you need at the very, very highest level. And some of the analysis was quite weak and simple. So we're going to talk through now an example of a PEA paragraph. The one that I think I'm going to start with is the London Olympics. So what's my point? My point has to be highlighting what urban change has taken place and whether or not that's, I believe, taking an environmental positive or an environmental negative from it. So my point would be that in 2012, the Olympic Games were held in London. That was the culmination of a huge redevelopment project of a rundown deprived area of East London, turning a brownfield site into effectively a brand new urban green space. That's my point. I'd probably word that slightly differently. I'm kind of thinking off the top of my head here. So that's my point. What's my evidence? Well, I've kind of already mentioned the Olympic Park. I've already started talking about Stratford. But what I want to do here is I want to just really emphasise the key environmental opportunities that came out of that redevelopment. So I would talk about the fact that the River Lea, which flows through the middle of the park, was a polluted and degraded habitat. It was a horrific place where very little wildlife really could flourish. What they did as part of this project was they cleaned up that river. They cleaned up the surrounding areas and established habitats. They also, as I mentioned earlier on the podcast, they planted 4,500 trees across the site, mainly native species of tree that will support many bird and insect life. They planted 70,000 plants of one sort or another, and they landscaped the area. So they created sort of rolling small hills and or mounds and made it look aesthetically beautiful as well. So they've created this wonderful park, which is not only useful for humans, for the local residents, creating a nice built environment for them to enjoy and relax in and improve their health, but it's also provided an environment for urban wildlife to create a habitat for themselves to survive. So from that point of view, you know, my evidence needs to highlight those key parts, those, you know, the 4,500, the 70,000, the River Lea, the names and the numbers is so key in that evidence. And then from that, I need to do some analysis of it. I need to kind of talk about the impact of that. And I kind of have drifted onto that naturally. And you know, you will find that as well. You drift onto it. You explain why 4,500 trees being planted is a beneficial thing. But within that analysis, the very, very top students will also show a balance. They'll show that actually there are some downsides to it. So, yes, they planted 4,500 trees, and yes, they planted 70,000 plants. But this is over a huge multi-acre site that, in most areas, is covered by impermeable tarmac and concrete and has huge buildings that are mostly, in many cases, made of concrete and steel. And all of that has a huge environmental impact. You know, the footprint of this development is colossal. The amount of carbon dioxide emitted through the materials and all the machinery and all that kind of stuff that's been used is huge. And that has a global impact in terms of sort of climate change. At a local level, it also has an environmental impact in terms of impermeable surfaces, increasing the risk of surface runoff into the rivers, making the River Lea and maybe the Thames slightly more flood prone. So you could potentially mention that as well. See, that's detailed analysis. That's really, really hard to give you a formula for that. That really comes down to your deeper understanding of geography, your ability to link, like I've just done, to my rivers topic and talk about how impermeable surfaces cause increased flood risk, and that's an environmental challenge, okay? So that's one example of a PEA paragraph. What I would encourage you to do now is to try and create your own. So either it could be an additional point for the Olympic Games example, or maybe Crossrail would be a good one to go to, or urban greening. Try and create that PEA paragraph. And if you're still struggling with it, I'd really, really recommend you come and see me, and we'll sit down at a lunchtime and we'll just go through it. You know, that one-to-one or small group sessions really help you understand and give you examples of how to put those PEA paragraphs together. So that's all for question 1.9. And now we're going to move on to the other question and give you some detailed breakdown information on that one. Okay. So question 5.3 in the fieldwork section was assess the effectiveness of your data collection methods. The command word, if we're cubing it again, is assess. So you need a balanced discussion about whether or not it was or wasn't effective. In what ways was it? In what ways wasn't it effective? The key words are effectiveness. You know, did it help you? Did it do the job that it needed to do, those methods? Did it get you the results you needed in order to answer your hypothesis and your aim? That's what that word means, effectiveness. And then the other key word, without doubt, is data collection methods. You've got to be really careful here, because they can change that very subtly to data presentation methods. You know, how did you present your data in like graphs and maps? But this is, how did you collect your data? So the way in which you went out and collected data, how was it effective? How was it ineffective? That's what this question is asking you to do. You need two paragraphs and a sort of summary statement at the end. So let's talk through what those paragraphs should contain. So what can we say about our method or methods? I would definitely, here with the human fieldwork, go to the questionnaire, I think, instinctively. I mean, you can go to whatever you want, whatever you feel comfortable with. I'd avoid annotated photos. It's really hard to criticize them. And there isn't that much to say. You kind of dry up with information very quickly. But the questionnaire is just a mine of things that were great and things that weren't great. So what I want you to do now is to create a list, two lists. One list is, why was it effective? Why was the questionnaire method effective, good in any way? And on the other list, why was it ineffective? Why was it flawed? Why did we have issues with it? Come up with a list and then we can compare notes in a second. Okay, so my lists are, the effective list is, we planned it in the classroom. It was a really thought out, well planned questionnaire. And as a result of that, the questions were all really targeted and focused. We had qualifying questions to make sure that the people that we were interviewing were valid interviewees. We had closed questions because we realized we would need data, discrete data that we could then plot on graphs and pie charts. So the planning of the questionnaire was thorough, created a nice questionnaire that was short, to the point, easy to understand for members of the public. But ultimately, the biggest thing I'd say effective wise is that it absolutely definitely gave us people's opinions on this project and whether or not they supported it. And that was key to answering hypothesis two. That has to be the most important thing you can say. You've always got to link back to your hypotheses, because everything stems from them and the aim. On the other side, on the ineffective side, I think there's a number of things. Our sample size was too small. You can't say that 82 people represent the 40,000 population of Farnham. I think our sample strategy, which was sort of a random stratified strategy, was good in principle, but totally flawed when we actually tried to implement it. We didn't adhere to it. We had 8 more women than we did men. We got a total imbalance in the age groups. And that also feeds into the fact we only did this on one day and at one time of that day. And really, that wasn't enough to get a representative sample of people's opinions. To compound all of that, you guys, as is pretty normal for GCSE students, made loads of human errors. So we lost a lot of samples that couldn't be used in our analysis because we were unsure of the data. And I think also because of the closed questions, it meant that the scope for wider viewpoints from the members of the public were quite limited. You know, they basically had a series of very short questions and it was over and done with very quickly. And, we might have discovered some other views if the questions had been more open. Okay. Now, all that's remaining for you to do is to stick that into two PEA paragraphs, one paragraph being about the effectiveness and the other about being the ineffectiveness, and then coming to some kind of reasoned conclusion at the end. And I'm not going to step through an example of that because I think based on what I've said for the previous question and what we've been working on, that you guys understand the PEA paragraph, you understand how to put that together. I think the biggest issue at the moment is really the knowledge, the ability to go back and revise this, get it fresh in your head again, and be able to talk about all the different aspects of it and link it all together. So again, if you want to have a go at that, redo this question if you did particularly poorly on it, and give me those questions to have a look at and give you feedback, more than happy. You will make my day, as sad as that is, you will make my day if you come to me with improved questions. And then you can feel positive that you've turned it around a bit and you've got it, you understand it. And I feel a bit more positive because I can see that you can do this. I mean, I know that you can do it, but if you can show me the evidence of it, even better. So that's all we've got for today. I hope you've enjoyed listening to the podcast. Well, enjoy might be a strong word, but hopefully it's been beneficial. That's the key. Any feedback on the podcasts, just let me know. Bye for now.